Welcome to the Positive Energy Podcast, the official podcast of the University of Ottawa's Positive Energy Initiative. We seek to strengthen public confidence in Canadian energy policy, regulation, and decision-making through evidence-based research and analysis, engagement, and recommendations for action. I'm your host, Brendan Frank. Since summer 2020, Positive Energy and Nanos Research have been tracking how Canadians feel about climate action in an age of COVID-19. On a scale of 0 to 10, is it a good time or a bad time to be ambitious in addressing climate change? And why or why not? Joining us today is Nick Nanos, President and CEO of Nanos Research and Chair of Positive Energy's Advisory Council. He's here to discuss the latest results from this tracking survey. Welcome, Nick.
It's great to see you, Brendan.
So let's start with some background. Can you walk us through the survey question and explain the thinking behind tracking whether or not Canadians think it's a good time to do more about climate change?
Well, you know, let's face it, Brendan, everybody is fixated on the pandemic. They're worried about when they're going to get vaccinated. They're worried about their jobs and so forth. And what we wanted to do was to work together with the Positive Energy team to figure out whether the environment and action on the environment, whether this was a good time or not. And we wanted to track this throughout the pandemic to see whether people's views changed as the pandemic has unfolded. And Brendan, who would have thought that we'd be still talking about the pandemic? Because last year, when we first started tracking on this, I figured we'd only be doing this for a couple of waves. But the idea is to see whether, as people think about the future and the economy, how they feel about the trade-offs behind being ambitious on climate change and the economy.
So you went into the field just before the one-year anniversary of the pandemic. And what do the latest results show? Are there trend lines that stick out to you that we should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, well, there've definitely been some incremental changes in the numbers. You know, back in June of 2020, when we had our first benchmark, about 45% of Canadians thought that kind of scored a 7, 8, 9, or 10 out of 10 in terms of it being the best time. And, you know, fast forward now, it's at 49%. It's been as high as 52. What we've learned, at least, is there's still a significant proportion of Canadians, almost not quite a margin of 2 to 1, that think that this is a good time to be more ambitious. And, you know, the caveat that we should put on this is that in the question, we talked about being ambitious in addressing climate change, even if there is a cost to the economy. And I think that's critical. So this isn't just a generic measure on should we be doing stuff on climate change. It's about the trade-off. And what we're seeing now in the latest wave that we've just finished with Positive Energy is that people are about 21 points more likely to think that it's a good time rather than a bad time to be ambitious in addressing climate change.
So the survey also asked Canadians why they feel now is a good time or a bad time. And we're seeing some patterns there. Could you talk about those?
Yeah, we're seeing a greater level of intensity. So think of three buckets of opinion. Those Canadians that think it's the best time, those that think it's the worst time, and those that are kind of in the middle. For those Canadians that think it's the worst time to be ambitious on climate, when we ask them why they have that opinion, the top two results were we should wait until the economy has recovered, and also that there are other priorities we should be focusing on the pandemic. Those were the two top reasons, and they've been the two top reasons basically in every single wave to one extent or another. What's interesting is that when we look at the Canadians who believe that this is the best time to be more climate ambitious, what we are seeing is an intensity of views. And to put this into context, Brendan, for this bucket, what I'll say the best time bucket, when we did our benchmark last year, about 39% said we need to act now. That's why this is a good time. Climate change can't wait. Fast forward now, and that number is up to 68%. So there's been a noticeable increase in the intensity. So just think of it this way. For those folks that think it's the best time, over the last year or so, what we've learned is that their intensity and desire to act now has actually significantly increased. And to put this into context, so that's at 68%, this whole idea of needing to act now. And then the second most popular response at around 18% was that we just need to diversify into different alternative energy solutions that are friendly to the environment, but that's only at 18%. So think of those best time folks as having a greater sense of urgency. And for the worst time individuals, they just think we should be waiting and focusing on the pandemic and that there are other priorities that we need at this particular point in time.
So I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about the 0 to 10 scale that you mentioned briefly there. So in recent quarterly surveys, Positive Energy and Nanos have started asking Canadians to evaluate how they feel about certain policies on a scale of 0 to 10. What are the benefits of this approach, and what are the drawbacks, and what does it tell us?
Well, from a methodological perspective, it gives us a lot more granularity on a 10-point scale. The other thing is for average respondents, most people know that, you know, an 8 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10 is really good, a 2 out of 10, a 3 out of 10 is poor. So it makes it a little more intuitive for respondents. And it provides us basically with a little bit of a report card that makes it quite easy to track over time. The other thing for those data geeks out there listening to your podcast, Brendan, it gives us a lot more flexibility in clustering groups. And you know, this is where, you know, the follow-up results related to justifications on why this might be a good or bad time are really helpful and give us a lot more granularity and analytical power on that front.
So when you ask Canadians this question about climate ambition, do we have a sense who is answering zero, that it's the absolute worst time to be ambitious in addressing climate change?
If you happen to be someone that lives in the Prairie Provinces, and that's really the energy heartland for Canada, you're more likely to score a zero. Not everyone, but just there's a higher likelihood to score out a zero. And you know, when we look at this 10-point scale, you know, usually we talk about a normal distribution curve, right? Which is kind of like, you know, high in the middle and two tailed. This one's a little different. It's kind of, there are people at the zero and the 10 points, and then it goes down and then it goes back up, which means that there's very interesting polarization that's taking place. And, you know, so what we're seeing is, you know, significant number of people are at the extremes, and then there's a normal distribution within that 10-point scale. So, and you know, likewise, if you happen to be a resident of the province of Quebec or in British Columbia, you're probably more likely to think that this is a good time to be ambitious on climate change. So, a lot of geographic factors at play.
And the total number of people who answer either zero or 10, what does that tell us about where Canadians are with this issue?
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, I believe a little more than one out of every three Canadians are on one of the extremes. And this speaks to, for those Canadians that are polarized, they're extremely polarized, and they're polarized at complete opposites. I think about 19% scored a 10 out of 10 in the latest wave, and 15% scored a 0 out of 10. And, you know, just think that's basically one third of all Canadians have extreme views on this, which is quite unusual compared to a lot of other research that we do, where it's more of a normal distribution. And, you know, maybe one of the ways to think about this is, if one third of Canadians are absolutely polarized, how do we have a discussion? How do we talk about evidence? How do we talk about a path forward? It makes it very difficult when people are so polarized, and that, you know, fully one third, it's kind of like they don't want to hear about climate ambition, and then there are others that don't want to hear about the fact that it's not a good time.
So on the topic of evidence, the survey also asked Canadians how much they trust a whole laundry list of potential information sources on climate change, also on a scale of 0 to 10. Can you talk about those results a bit?
Yeah, sure. What we learned was that there's basically a hierarchy of trust when it comes to information on the topic of climate change. And Why don't we start off by talking about who's at the bottom, and then we'll move to who's at the top. So at the very bottom, not surprisingly, was actually social media. Only about 4% of Canadians actually say that they trust social media when it comes to the topic of climate change, and 70% or 7 out of every 10 outright do not trust and give very low scores for trust when it comes to social media. And then at the top of the list, peer-reviewed science and researchers. And this speaks to kind of the appetite for evidence, where, you know, for that particular group, and this is very important because a lot of those those peer-reviewed science and researchers, a lot of that activity takes place in our universities, received the highest score. More than 3 out of 4 Canadians scored them a 7, 8, 9, or 10 out of 10 on the trust-o-meter, what we'll call it. Environmental organizations also scored reasonably well, getting about a 5.8 out of 10. Even news, traditional news media like newspapers, radio, TV, 5.3. Government agencies, 5.2. And then not at the bottom, but near the bottom, politicians and industry, 3.5 out of 10 and 3.8. out of 10, respectively. So maybe the one way to look at this is the clear losers, clear types of stakeholders that are not trusted, politicians, industry, and social media. The clear winner by a country mile, peer-reviewed science and researchers at 7.7 out of 10.
And I would also just note that trust in peer-reviewed sources holds across partisan lines, which is an unusual result for the Nanos positive energy tracking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little lower among right-leaning, but it's still, I think they still get about a 6.5 out of 10, which is a pretty decent score, but definitely a majority across the board for that particular source on climate change.
So what should decision makers take away from these questions about trusts in information sources? What does it say about communicating climate change?
Well, I think for decision makers, there's two key takeaways. First of all, when anyone hears anything about climate change, the first thing they ask themselves is, who is this from? The fact of the matter is that anything that is kind of more academic, university, peer-reviewed, includes the researchers, is more likely to have the trust of Canadians compared to anything else. Because, you know, think of it this way, the next highest score is 5.8 out of 10 environmental organizations. So they shouldn't even be doing a big victory lap, except for the fact that they're much more likely to be trusted than industry. So I think the key takeaway here is that for topics related to climate change, people are looking for independent, reliable, peer-reviewed information in order to shape opinions and shape dialogue. And I think one of the key things for decision makers is that they should look to our researchers at universities as partners in putting a spotlight on the information that Canadians want in order to be engaged on this issue.
And what's next for the tracking survey? What can our listeners expect from the Nanos Positive Energy Collaboration in the coming months?
Well, we're going to continue through the summer to track what I'll say the key measure, which is the should we be and how climate ambitious should we be. So we're going to continue to track that. And we're also going to continue to track the drivers of those views and keep the pulse. And, you know, the other thing is we're coming up, there'll be the federal budget, and it'll be interesting to see what the federal government does in terms of its climate plan and how it might influence how Canadians feel positively or negatively, whether this is a good or not a good time to be climate ambitious.
Nick Nanos, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again.
My pleasure, Brendan.
You've been listening to the Positive Energy Podcast. To see more of our research and to find out about upcoming events, check out our website. Today's episode was produced by Alicia Aziz, Raphael Desordi, and myself, Brendan Frank. We'll be back next month. See you soon.